views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Glad to be with you once again, and another day closer to the time when our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, has all power in heaven and earth, and our Savior, the one that died for our sins and will save us, and we will meet God with joy without any record we've ever sinned, and what a wonderful Savior He is. Now, I'm so glad to have with me once again in the studio, we have Kim Davis and the wife of Pastor Al Davis, who is also here. And he's been a big help and a blessing to me. And then Clark Block, who is a blessing and a good friend and brings me here every Thursday from 3 to 4. We have this program. And we're going to give you an opportunity to call in about 15 or 20 minutes. You know, Brother Al, maybe you could just give that phone number now. So you could call in and you'll be heard all around the world if you have the nerve to do it and be on the radio, because this program is worldwide. And I just was thinking about, we just had a website put up, and we've had nearly 600 hits on the website from everywhere. I'm telling you, it just amazes me. Country of Finland, I'll say hello to them today, because they said they had 30 hits on the website. That was a week ago already. And then I think of some of the other places, from France and from Russia and from Japan and from China and from we had quite a number from Israel. And so we want to welcome you wherever you are all over the world today to be with us. And if you love the Lord, pray, because this goes also on shortwave radio among many radio stations. It's carrying it right through the very heart of Africa. And we don't know who all is listening, but from our response, we do know that there's quite a number of people listening, and maybe people that don't know the Lord Jesus. So if you pray for this program, that God will help us and use this program. And I think maybe we ought to start in a prayer today. And Brother Clark suggested that. So I think I'll open in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you care for us. You love us. You've shown it in every way. And finally, sending your Son to be punished in our place so that we can meet you with joy without a record we've ever sinned in heaven. And Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will use these words that are spoken here today to glorify our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus, and his wonderful words. And we thank you for your goodness to us today and your mercy and grace. You said you give us new mercies every day, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We had some wonderful letters from Africa, and I just am not set up to answer those letters right now. But we're going to try to work something out in the future, and I appreciate the letters. There's such an encouragement. And so I asked Kim to read one of those letters for us today, and I think they'll be a blessing to your heart. Go ahead.
This letter comes to us from Ghana. It says, Dear Pastor Bruce Musselman, praise be to God our Father and to Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. I am privileged to listen regularly to your program on Radio Africa, and it's so inspirational, and I'm blessed by it. Through this program, it has brought happiness into my life. God has also brought a great revival into my life in this perilous dispensation. Thanks be to God. I hope you will send me any available materials to help me grow spiritually in Christ. Thank you, and God bless in Christ our Lord.
Well, thank you so much for that letter that you have sent and all the other letters. We can't do anything right at this time, but we're going to be working on being able to send out some of goods in the future, and we'll be working on that. Now, I want this week to talk about someone that has been a tremendous blessing that God has used tremendously, and it is her birthday this week, and I'm talking about Gail Ripplinger. And I want to talk about something about her life and thank God for her, because more than almost anybody that I know of, the books that she has written has been circulated worldwide and are incredibly good. It's better than anything I've seen before. And I've, for the last 30 years, I've read every side of this issue of the biblical authority and textual history and all the rest of it. And as one of my friends said, her books are class all their own. But I just want to wish her a happy birthday, because it's her birthday this week. And I want to talk something about her and then talk something about the books. But Gail, I know that you listen to the program, and we've already asked her about coming on again. And she's had physical problems and been very weak. But we're hoping one day that she can come on and talk to the audience. But I want to give something about her background and also about some of the books that she has written. But before that, I just have an announcement now. I'm going to be speaking at a revival meeting at Calvary Baptist Church in Akron, and this starts on the 14th. And then also Brother Ouellette, who is very well known among Baptist churches here in America. He has a large church in Saginaw, Michigan. He's going to be speaking there, and there'll be others. And so it's at Calvary Baptist Church in Akron, Ohio. It's off of, I believe, 271.
77.
77.
And White Pond.
Okay. That's what I got you here for, Al. You just straightened things out here for me. So
it's just on the northwest side of Akron, and right off 77.
Okay. Yeah. And that's on the 14th. It starts. So we're going to be doing the music, and then Brother Ouellette's going to be there, and Brother Aaron Furman, he's the pastor of the church, and God's really blessing that church. There's new people in new people coming, people getting saved, he tells me, and so I'm really looking forward to being there. He started in a storefront there, and then they voted him in this beautiful church, and when first I spoke for him in the storefront, then all of a sudden, the next time I come, it's in this great, big, beautiful church that he is now the pastor of. And so on the 14th, it's going to start, and we'll be there. So we'll take care of that announcement. But today I want to talk something about Gail, and I'm talking about her because of the books she's written, and then I want to talk about the books, some of the books that she has written. And I'll ask Brother Davis here to give us the address and how you can get in touch with this. Now, there's one of the local pastors here, Bob Sefcovic, has the Gospel House, and he was holding what he called a rap down at Kent State University. One of the guys that's going to the rap witnessed to her while she was a professor at Kent State University, or while she was attending there, and she got saved. And so immediately she started to witness for the Lord, and she was giving out tracts and so on, and she had gone to that she had gone to his rap down there. And then after that, she went to Mission Baptist Temple. She started attending there. And she got interested in the Bible translations. And she has a testimony on this as girls. But she, after she had been saved, she started to witness and give out tracts. And then she had graduated, and she was thinking, well, I want to stay here so I could be a witness to the students here. And so she thought, well, if I could become a cleaning lady at the church, at the school at Kent, then I could witness to the students. But because her grades were so high, she was invited to come on the faculty. And so she became a faculty member there and was asked to teach many classes. And then she was voted to get special recommendations and so on, which she did by some of the other teachers there. And so then she had started to write college textbooks, which were well accepted. And then the United States was looking for someone to represent them in a European meeting of European scholars and American scholars. And she was picked by the U.S. government, of all the people in America, to represent the United States of America. Well, she had been saved, and she was thinking to stay on there, but now she was a professor, though, so she could be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she went to Mission Baptist Temple and was beginning to think about the Bible and the Bible translations and so on. And she was really interested in the subject. And about that time, she was listening to this radio program, and she wrote this to me. And she was listening to the program, and we were talking, defending the King James Bible. And she said, well, I'd like to do that too. And so she began to pray about it. And at that time, when she prayed about it, she contacted some type of a sickness that she could no longer teach, but she had to stay home. And because of the sickness, muscular sickness that she had, and she stayed home. And while she was doing this, she was trained at Harvard and Cornell also as a researcher. And so she did research on the Bible translations, and she wrote the first book. And it's called New Age Bible Versions. And this book was a masterpiece. You can still get a hold of it. And it's very one of the most important books that has been written probably in the last 100 years. And she showed that the modern versions did not come from the same Greek source, Greek text, and that they actually were promoting New Age ideas. And she really proved her point. This book, in it, it goes through 2,500 scripture verses. It compares the King James with the modern versions. And it has 41 chapters in it. Each chapter has a title, has an individual subject. Like she has one on women, and she shows the King James compared to the modern ones, which put down women. And many different interesting subjects are in these chapters. And so this is a masterpiece. And the book, now, I would say this, if you sell 8,000 copies on any subject, that's considered really good. She sold 300,000 books, over 300,000 books of this one book that she had put out, and New Age Bible Versions. And it is really worth buying and getting and reading it. We will give you the phone number where you can call and get a catalog of a number of these books that she has made. It is a masterpiece. And, of course, the people that were, I'm just saying, it was satanic. They hated that book because it showed all the changes that had been made. You know, right now, I want to stop and say this. The King James Bible, for instance, is based on the text that came down to us from Christ and the apostles. And the earliest church fathers, the vast number of the early manuscripts, it's over 99% back up the King James Bible. And that's very important to know. And these were very carefully copied in local Bible-believing churches. You can trace that text in Bible-believing churches. For instance, the Waldensians, which were a Bible-believing Baptist group, and I'm using the word Baptist in reference to the doctrine. They taught believers' baptism. They taught premillennialism. They taught salvation by grace through faith in Christ. And they were there starting with the apostles and come right down today to independent Baptist churches today. And there's a consistent history. I have many books at home. You can read a book, for instance, called The Martyr's Mirror, and by Thielman Van Bright, written in the 16th century, a thick book. And in there, you have the documented evidence and the stories and what they stated. And so they were copying the true text. And in the West, it was copied in the italic text, which translation the old Italian, that basically backs up the King James Bible. The King James translators used these ancient Bibles to translate the Bible with. Then in the East, was a Bible-believing Baptist group called the Paulicians. And they had started with the apostles also. And they copied it, the Koine Greek text that has come down. And then there was the Nestorians that translated the Bible into the Syriac. Peshitta is a form of Aramaic that went all the way to China in the 7th century. And all of these Bibles were the received text. And in Europe, there's hundreds of these Bibles that are in museums that back up the authorized King James Bible. And I know that Gail's collected a lot of them, and I've seen them in her house where she has a really collection of those Bibles. And so the King James translators use those. The modern ones come from less than 1% of the evidence. And you say, why is it such an issue? Well, read the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his last words, he warned against putting a curse on people that took away from the words of God and people that added to the words of God, which the modern translations do. They come from the corrupt text of Alexandria, Egypt. And that 1% is called the eclectic text. It's based on manuscripts that disagree with each other constantly. That's what eclectic means. It's a corrupt text, and it's less than 1%. And that's what this program is all about. We say today that God said he would preserve his word. Psalms 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so Gail started to write these books, and they are masterpieces. My preacher friends that have read these books would just tell you this. I mean, I have read so many books on all sides of this issue, but these things go, the books that she has, I don't know how she does it, tell you the truth. Many of these books are just human rationalistic arguments. You know, I also say this again, that what is called textual criticism started with Simon, who was the Jesuit leader, and the Jesuits began to promote this to overthrow the King James Bible. Because as long as people were reading this Bible, they would not believe in the Roman Church, and they would turn away from the Roman Church. But if you could, so the Jesuits' job was to destroy faith in the Word of God. And it is now infiltrated into many evangelical and fundamental schools. And I have read books that detail it, the infiltration, give the names, dates, and so on. And I know one of the individuals, he's a nice guy. My sister and brother-in-law were friends with him, but he was trained by the Jesuits. He got his Doctor of Divinity degree. And in his book, he states in there, talks about textual criticism. He believes in it. But textual criticism is set up, and it is set up to get people to follow Constantine's Bible, which the Pope has been promoting for 400 years. And the modern versions are based on it. They call it the oldest and best, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. And these are corrupt Bibles. They were put out by photographs that the Pope put out in 1900, and he put out some photographs of Vaticanus, and they didn't even agree with each other, and they don't allow people into the Vatican to look at that Vatican Bible that is the source and basis for modern versions. And so anyway, but more than probably any place, anybody in the world, and all the books, and there's a lot of good ones being read. But one time I went in a Christian bookstore with her, and I pulled out one of the books on the shelves, and I showed it to her. She says, well, he used my material. Well, I'm not surprised at that, because probably everybody that's writing a book now is going to be using her material, because she's put out so much and it is so good. But so we're talking about that book. Now I want to talk about another one. For instance, she wrote a book called In Awe of the Word. And she shows in this book an incredibly good book that talks about King James Bible, and it's the supernatural aspects in the King James Bible, and there is a lot of supernatural aspects of it. It's rhymed, and in there she talks about the heartbeat of God, because it has a rhythm to it, and it is the heartbeat of God. And I believe that God said he'd preserve his words, and so God, the Holy Spirit, will guide people that he would bless. And the King James Bible shows in many, many words that it is the Word of God. It says the Word of God is quick and powerful. Every great revival came through it, without exception. And then it says that the Word of God is abides with us. And this is the Word of God which by the Gospels preached unto you. So the great Gospel preachers that God has blessed and got results used it and believed it. And I think I'll mention it again, although I've mentioned it many times. For instance, you go back to somewhere around the 3rd or 4th century, you get Peter Waldo, and he got saved, and he began to train other preachers, and they translated the Bible into French. And for instance, one of the translations in France, the Olivetan Bible, is translated by a Waldensian, and he was a Baptist pastor, way back before the Protestant Reformation, or at that time, in the time of the Protestant Reformation. And it's based on the received text that came from the Old Latin Italic text. And so he began to train people, and there's preachers going all over Europe. And in England, they were called the Lollards, which is Lollards in England influenced, and Wycliffe began to work with them. The Lollards came from a Baptist preacher named Walter Lollard, who had gone to England. And he was preaching the gospel, a highly educated man, and he was burned at the stake. Many young men, when they went out to, their theology was learned not in seminary, but was learned going witnessing in castles and from door to door. And every time they knocked on that door, they knew that they could be arrested, taken to a dungeon, tortured, and then on a holiday, burned at the stake. You read The Martyr's Mirror, and in there, it tells the individual stories of hundreds of these persons. Every time they knocked on a door, that may have been the end of their physical life. But they loved Jesus that much. And they were the ones that copied our Bibles that we have today, that copied the text of the Bible. And it was translated in 1611 from the text that was carried on from the time of Christ all the way to the translators of the King James Bible. And of course, you have these gospel preachers, and we could name Tyndale. 90% of the words in the King James Bible were translated by Tyndale. And of course, he was burned at the stake. And so these gospel preachers, and you have Charles Spurgeon, who was tremendously used of God in England. And he called people that corrected the King James. People like we hear on the radio and television today, preachers that correct it, he called them popelings. And if you don't believe the King James, where do you go? Well, you go to some guy who gets on the radio and television and corrects it, or to some teacher in a school who doesn't know what he's talking about, that teaches that the corrupt text of Constantine is the right one. But the right text is... it says in the Bible that thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The true church will have the true text down through the ages. And that is exactly what happened. And then you have Talmage. And Talmage, his sermons on the next day after Sunday were printed in 600 newspapers around the United States. And he preached in one town and one place and turned a whole city upside down for Christ. And he had the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle. Talmage said the King James Bible is a perfect translation. So then you had Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday went to New York City, and he had 123,000 converts in New York City. And he said that if scholarship disagreed with the Bible, talking about the King James Bible, scholarship could go plumb to the devil. And then you had D.L. Moody. I tell you, the people at Moody ought to read what D.L. Moody said. He founded it. And he founded it on the King James Bible. And he said, for spiritual unity, leave the Bible as it is. And today, you will have people corrected on Moody Station. They are not following D.L. Moody because he was facing the same problem we have today, and that was the teachings of Westcott and Hort. And they were basing their corrupt texts on less than 1% of the evidence. And it was an infiltration by the Jesuits. And I have books that document it and show it and give the names and places and so on. Where they were trained and all about it. And so all of these gospel preachers did that. But I want to just say that when Gail Riplinger was saved, and I won't say that she's perfect. Nobody is perfect or was perfect, because only God is perfect. And some of the people that God used had a great problem of their past. Moses killed a man, and David committed adultery, and it goes on and on and on. But I want to say this, that the lady that writes these books, she started, as soon as she got saved, she was witnessing, and she has witnessed ever since then. I saw her give out tracts when she was going into a store, and just faithfully witnessing for Christ, and she has been a great witness for the Lord. She's been a great mother and taught her daughter. She was married to her husband for 29 years until he died a couple years ago, and I just think that you say, well, you're honoring a person. Yes, the Bible says that those that honor God, God will honor. You know, by the King James Bible, promote, she's upholding Jesus Christ. That's the whole thing. The modern ones throw out Jesus in 100 places. And so so she has been faithfully writing these books. And we'll talk more a little bit more about the books, then we'll go on. But we'll take a short break right now.
Can religious practices be mandated in public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
The school district where my kids go to school want to pass more or less a rule or an ordinance which would force the children to participate in prayer, which I'm a deacon in the church. I've been a Christian all my life, but I have a very severe problem with forcing children to participate in prayer that pretty obvious some of them don't want to participate in.
Well, number one, the school district doesn't need to be introducing an ordinance requiring a school prayer because, number one, that's unconstitutional.
The court did say that the Constitution nor the Supreme Court precedents prohibits students from praying before, after, or during the school day, but it cannot be compelled. And the requirement that it be compelled or required participation would make it unconstitutional.
Join the American Center for Law and Justice in defending our religious liberties. Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
All who choose godliness live in a crucible. The tests will come. Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. But all is not lost, far from it. Our great hope and our assurance is that the one in us is greater than the one in the world. We do not face such a formidable enemy that we cannot fight him or stand firm and secure in our decision. Our Lord is the God of all hope. The godly call upon the Lord when the perils come. And the Lord says, I am here and I will answer. We're in this together.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
All right, we're back with you, and I want once again, we're going to talk about some of the books that Gail Riplinger has written. And we were just mentioning, because God says that those that honor him, he will honor. And I believe we should honor somebody like Gail because of what she has done. God has used her in a tremendous way. And I believe that she is she's a great Christian, a great mother. And she goes out with witnessing with their daughter, was now married to a preacher, and we're going to have her sing in just a minute. But after she sings, we're going to give the place where you can call, and you'll probably talk to Bryn. You'll probably talk to her, the one that's going to sing, if you call up. But I want to mention about a few of the books today that we've mentioned before. Now, one of the recent ones is Witch Bible. That's a shorter one. And she spends time on the New King James Bible, which leaves Christ in, but they're educated, the people that put it out, in the philosophy of Westcott and Horton. There's a lot of corruption. They take out the blood of Jesus many times there. And these books are masterpieces. She's a great writer and a great teacher, and it's very interesting to read the books. It's I believe most Christians would really love them. And if you think that I'm overdoing it, she has sold 500,000 of her books. And so we're going to go on and talk about some other ones. Now, she's written this one called Hazardous Materials. And if you read that book, it's called The Voice of Strangers or Hazardous Materials, and it goes into the lexicons and the text that the modern versions are using, and it tells who did it. It quotes the people that did it and what they believed. And there's many people that were not saved that are involved in these Greek departments and are involved in these translations. Now, the translators, many of them may be saved, but they're using materials by unsaved people. For instance, Thayer openly, that they use his stuff, and Thayer openly denies that Jesus is God. He's a Unitarian. And this is so typical. And then we have Archbishop Carlos Maria Martini, who is Archbishop in the Roman Catholic Church. And so there's many readings in these versions that come from a Catholic text, and he is an editor that works with the modern Bible societies. And by the way, while I'm thinking about it, they have a whole society that was started in England, and it's also operating here, called the Trinitarian Bible Society, that upholds the received text. Now, the King James Bible is based on a received text that has been copied in Bible-believing churches, just as the Bible says, from the time of Christ, and is used today. And I am not alone on what I'm saying. We've quoted Spurgeon. We've quoted Moody many times on this program. We've quoted Billy Sunday. We've quoted Talmage, and people that took the same position that I'm taking here today. And I believe that God raised up this program. I never planned it. Someone asked us on the radio, and pretty soon we're on station after station to it's worldwide. And I thank God you're listening to the station. But anyway, so she wrote that. She wrote In Awe of the Word, a tremendous book. And all of this is very interesting reading, and yet it's highly well-researched. She knows what she's talking about, and the argument she uses from the Bible, I don't know how she does it, taking verses from all over the Bible and using them for arguments. And I read some of the other ones that are being circulated that don't hold this position, and they're using so much human arguments. The Bible teaches, for instance, that God said he would preserve his words over and over again. When I first studied this, I went to a seminary at Winona Lake and talked to the head of the Greek department, and he gave me a paper that said God never said that he would preserve his words. He was ignorant of the Bible. Many, just because they study some Greek doesn't mean they have any idea of they know how to read the English Bible, because the Bible teaches that God would preserve it. What is the purpose of verbal inspiration that God gave every word perfect when today you just have all kinds of contradictory Bibles? Well, it wouldn't help, but God said he'd preserve it. He told us how he would preserve it. He told us where he would preserve it. And primarily, God said that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth. And that's the Holy Spirit in the heart of believers that leads us to the truth. In the Old Testament, they had a priest class that guarded the Word of God. In the New Testament, we're all priests. If we're born again, we're saved, we're all priests. And the year after year, Christians, they promote other Bibles, but they all die. They're dead in the first place, and Christians keep coming back to this one. Why? The Holy Spirit is guiding and leading them back to it. That's why. Because the Holy Spirit gave the Bible, will guide Christians back to the true Word of God in the true text. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will abide with you forever. And he is the Spirit of truth that will abide with you forever. And he will guide you into all truth. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. So that's why. And, you know, the NIV promoted through huge advertising sold 200,000 copies. The King James now has been printed in 5 billion copies. And it is the absolute, infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God. And when somebody corrects it, God said he'd guide us into all truth, not partial truth. We don't have a Bible full of errors. We have a Bible full of absolute truth. Now, at this time, Gail's daughter, who is a godly, beautiful, godly Christian lady who has been married to a pastor, and I know that her name is Bryn, and her mother, they go out witnessing together, and they have for years, and giving out tracts and serving the Lord together. And so she is working with her mother now, and her mother produces the books right there in the house, in their home. They have the machines and so on to produce these books. And so she's a beautiful gal. She's a beautiful singer. And so we're going to have her sing a song for us at this time. And then after we come back, well, we're going to throw the let everybody call in and get some courage and call us. And if God's blessed you, saved you, and you believe the Bible, you can call us up. Or you have questions, you can call us up. But we'll have Bryn Shute sing now at this time. Thank you, Bryn, and I appreciate that beautiful song. I want to read a few scripture verses here, and then we'll give you a phone number. In fact, why don't you give the phone number right now, and then as soon as I'm done with those verses, you might like to call in. We'd like to have you call in and talk to us. Okay.
All right. You can give Bruce a call at toll-free anywhere in the United States or Canada, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Or you can call 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933.
Thank you. And here's the verse. It's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, verse 19, starting there. It says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. Written by Isaiah about 700 years before Christ, and it's great prophecy. It's saying that through the whole world, man will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find today millions of people put their faith that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for our sins, that he bodily and physically rose from the dead, that whosoever shall call on his name, and that is, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my God and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. And they say that from their heart, and they mean that they will be saved. And it says here, from the rising of the sun, from the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. So he will be glorified worldwide, number one. But it says when the enemy comes in, and so the enemy comes in like a flood to destroy faith in God's word. And so the Lord raises up a standard. And so we have been talking about Gail Riplinger, who God has used in such a tremendous way. And we just, you ought to read her books that uphold the Word of God. I would say if I have been teaching in Christian colleges for years, but I mean, if I was the president of a school, I wouldn't let anybody graduate without reading Hazardous Materials. And about 600 or 700 page book, and it shows what's going on. Now, the Lord has laid up even this program as a standard against them to uphold God's true Word. King James Bible, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion. That's the next thing on the God's scheduled time. Jesus is coming back to Jerusalem, Israel. That's why the attention of the whole world is on Israel. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them. Now God's talking, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee and my words which I have put in thy mouth. Now notice the words that God gave Isaiah. It says, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth forever. Now it says a covenant with Jacob. Jacob is Israel. And the James is another word for Jacob. And it's very interesting that the King James is called after the name of Jacob. It's the English translation of Jacob. But Jacob is referring to the Jewish people. God said, I will give them my words, and those words will last forever. And the King James in the Old Testament is based on the Hebrew Masoretic text as it came down. And the Jews were very careful in copying that. If there was one error, they would destroy the copy. And each one of those Jewish letters had a number attached to it, and they would add up the at the end of a sentence, they would add it up, and it had to come out exactly right. Every single letter had to come out right, or they would destroy it. And so the King James is based on it. Now, the modern ones have followed texts that have been corrupted by people like Kittle and Ginsburg that have corrupted the true text. But the true text is found in the Authorized King James Bible, and they even in the Dead Sea Scrolls, they had compared some of these scrolls with the Hebrew Masoretic text that we have today that has not been corrupted and the King James is based upon. And in 100,000 words, they didn't even find one error in it, one change in it, because God had said he would preserve his words. And so the problem with these modern versions, they come from the wrong Greek text, from the wrong Greek dictionaries and so on. But this one has come down to us and God has put his witness to it. All right. I don't know. Do we have a caller on the line yet?
Yes, we do. We have Bill calling in.
All right.
Yeah, here's an example of, in Timothy, the King James Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. That's not right. It's the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. How do you, what would your response be to that?
Well, I'm glad you brought it up. See, that's your opinion. It's kinds of evil. The King James says the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, a root is not the source of a plant. The root is what nourishes a plant. And so all kinds of evil is, or evil is nourished just as the root of a nourishes a plant. Evil is nourished by the love of money. For instance, pornography is nourished by the love of money. All kinds of corruption, all kinds of evil comes from the love of money, and that's the source of it. And so that's an interesting thing that you brought up, and I'm glad you brought it up. Thank you for calling, caller.
Okay. Right. And if you've got a call, you can give us a call here at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Or 216-901-0933.
All right. Now, maybe if we don't have a caller in the line right now, Brother Al, you can bring up some objections we'll talk about.
Yeah, one that I get asked every once in a while is, what about all those hard words in the Bible, in the King James? It's just too hard to understand. There's words that are difficult, and usually they'll have a word, or usually they don't even actually have a word. They just say there's hard words. I asked somebody that said that to me one time, what's a satrap? And they didn't know. I said, well, that's not in the King James. King James says governor. So hard words can be relative. What do you say about hard words in the King James?
Okay. You know, I really think it's the devil's lie, because the King James has been compared to many of the modern versions, and actually it's easier. And it uses many one-syllable Anglo-Saxon words. You just, sometime I'd ask them to open up like to the Gospel of John and say, now which word is it that you don't understand, see? And people say, well, I don't understand these and thous. And I think, well, if somebody said that they had $1 million check for you, for thee, do you think you can understand it, you know? It's, I think that's spurious. And furthermore, the King James has a built-in dictionary in it. And many verses are repeated and explained constantly. I know in some of the other languages, one fellow told me one time, he says, you want to learn Spanish, get a Spanish New Testament and just read it, and you'll start to learn it. And I noticed I started doing that because it has a built-in dictionary, and it defines it. But many of the words are one-syllable words. And so I just think that is a spurious statement.
One, along the lines of that, going to the one syllable words, the same individual that I was talking to this one time, and I asked him what a satrap was as opposed to a governor that King James used, they objected to the ye's and the these. And I explained to them in about just a couple of minutes that if it starts with a th, it's a singular pronoun. Personal pronoun. If it starts with a Y, it's a plural personal pronoun. I said, it took me less than 5 minutes to understand that. And this is what they told me. They said, well, we teach kids and we only have them for a half an hour a week. Now, my question, I guess, to you would be, what should we do? Should we educate people up to the standards of the Bible, or dumb down the Bible to the ignorance of the people?
We should take the Bible as it is, you know. And furthermore, some of the more difficult words, like the word grace, for instance. Now, if you had translated the Greek word there is charis, and it can be translated gift, but that doesn't explain what grace is altogether. See, so there's some of the words that sanctification, to set apart to God, and so on, that have more than just a simple meaning to it. See. And so, you know, again, it defines itself. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. It's defining the word grace. But if it was just a gift, it would not define all that is involved in the word grace that God has given us. So we believe that the Holy Spirit has given us those words, and they're in there. And some of the more difficult words, like propitiation and so on, There's more to it than one simple word, and that's why it's used, or sanctification, to set apart to God, see? So God has put it in there the way he wants us to have it.
Well, in other words, we need to educate people. Isn't that why God called pastors and teachers?
Yes. You know, one guy said, well, it's difficult, you know, and he got saved and a new Christian, and I said, just read it. And so as he was reading, he says, well, I can understand this. If you don't understand something, you just keep reading, and you will start to understand most of it. And so God has given to us perfect, and there's a great blessing by reading the Word of God. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It'll change your mood, and you cannot be a strong Christian unless you read it. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, said, search the Scriptures. He has told you to read the Scriptures, because in it is the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know Christ through the Scriptures, and that's why you need to read it. Well, God bless you so much. You have a good day.
Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman? If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
The preceding programs.